This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Suan. Being a kid isn't always as carefree as we think, especially during this pandemic. Now, since March 2020, when the first MCO was announced, we're now in our fourth MCO. But, you know, at this time, children in Malaysia have spent as much time in schools as they have at home. And really, most of the kids have spent much of the past almost year and a half within their homes, right? So they've dealt with multiple school closures and reopening. Kids have dealt with not being able to see their friends, seeing relatives and family members. They're not even able to go to the park for some outdoor play right now for some of us. So how is all of this affecting kids and their families? And more importantly, you know, can kids also burn out? So that's what we want to find out today. And joining me on Zoom today are Lavender Tan, a clinical psychologist, as well as Kimberly Lee, the managing editor at Marksheet. How are both of you doing today?
We're doing well. Well,
I'm doing well.
Thanks so much for having us today.
It's my pleasure, and I'd love to get both your perspectives on this. And perhaps I'll start with you, Lavender. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about how adults are feeling burnout, how adults are experiencing pandemic fatigue, especially as it's been about 16 months since March last year when all of this started, right? But what about kids? You know, can kids also experience burnout and pandemic fatigue? What have you seen among the kids and families that you see?
Unfortunately, kids are also quite significantly impacted by this. It depends on the child, of course. It depends on their context, like how much stress is around them and things like that. They are very resilient. You know, they are quite well able to bounce back. But then because it's just been going on for so long and there's no certainty. So a lot of the kids that I work with, they have been reporting a lot more worries. Like the kids that come in to session with me online, we can't meet them. Mm-hmm. They do tell me like they worry about their exams. They worry about what it's going to look like because they don't even know. Like usually we have a bit of predictability. Like we'll have exams in May, for example, right? And it's going to be in that hall that we sit in every year, our past, like, I don't know, whole primary school life. But then now they don't know what their exams are going to look like. They don't know when it's going to be. A lot of them are also worried about their parents, like if they have parents in essential services, things like that. So the older kids do have a lot of those reports. Whereas the younger ones, what parents are telling me is that they do tend to seem a lot more irritable. It seems like they're going a little bit stir crazy at home, right? Yeah. Being all cooped up and not being able to have fun. So those are some of the things I have observed.
Kimberly, what about you? I know you have two very young kids, right? What have you observed among your children? What has it been like for them, you know, this past year and a half?
I think what Lavender said was spot on, because my kids are quite young, right? I've got a four-year-old and I've got a little boy who's just turned one. With my four-year-old especially, the levels of irritability have really gone up. I think that is right. There is a measure of like complete cabin fever being stuck at home. And this like really sweet boy has become like really snappy, especially when it comes to like, you know, the witching hour of 5 and 6 o'clock when he's like desperate to get out. And there isn't really, you know, much space for him to kind of just run and be and expend all that energy. And just also being, having to face the four walls at home, not getting a chance to see his teachers, his friends. And I can see how that has really affected him. So before, he was a lot more confident. I mean, he was just starting school last year before the pandemic actually hit. I mean, he was just starting to get his footing and just kind of getting used to people and socially interact with people. And now he's just facing his family, and it's really hard. And I feel that he's just gotten more withdrawn, or a little bit more hesitant when it comes to meeting new people for the first time. It's also, I think, that connotation in his head that, you know, everybody needs to wear a mask and keep their distance, you know, and stay safe. And, you know, social distance then, I suppose, translates into emotional distance as well, which is hard.
I mean, Lavender, do you see, is that something that you worry about, that, you know, the pandemic and all the restrictions and the precautions that we take, right? Is that affecting kids' ability to connect with people and to learn how to interact socially?
Yeah, for sure. Especially like Kimberly at that age, right? Your son's age of 4 years old. That's usually the time when kids go out and they learn how to interact with other people and they kind of figure out more stuff about themselves just based off of being with other people. So I can imagine it must be very hard on them. And there are pandemic babies, some clients and also friends who have babies who are around the 2 year mark, they do seem to be a lot more afraid of other people just because they're not used to seeing strangers. Whereas before that, we see strangers all the time. I can imagine that this might impact them socially in the long run.
And let's talk a bit about why kids may be feeling this way, right? I think for adults, it's easy to say, you know, that we are experiencing fatigue, we're experiencing burnout because, you know, we understand what the situation is. You know, we can see that we've been following these SOPs, but nothing has changed. Adults are managing work-life balance. You know, we're learning how to work from home while some parents have to also manage kids, right? But kids may not necessarily experience the pandemic the same way. So why are kids, what are the reasons that are contributing to kids feeling the way that they do or maybe, you know, behaving differently?
Well, I think it's similar reasons, which is the loss of coping skills, right? A lot more stressors out there. The only difference is that kids may not have the same level of emotion regulation that adults do. We can call our friends up and we can say, oh, this is driving me nuts. It's so ridiculous. But kids, they just feel like they are not happy or they're not comfortable, but they can't verbalize it. The way, you know, sometimes they don't know when they need a nap and then they get all cranky and they cry and you're like, yeah, you need a nap. They don't know. So they don't know why they're so upset and so agitated. And the thing is, like, kids typically rely on parents to help them emotionally regulate and to solve problems. And for the most part, before this, we have been through pretty much everything that they would be going through, more or less, right? But this is parents' first time experiencing a pandemic as well, right? So as much as parents work very hard to give them that sense of comfort and stability, the parents are also anxious and it's hard to reassure them, you know? They look to their parents to tell them when they can go to the playground again and the parents can't answer because parents don't know. So that may be part of the reason why it's agitating for them and very stressful for them.
Kimberly, you know, what do your kids, especially I think your four-year-old, right? What do they struggle with the most, you know, during this time? Are there specific things that they miss or specific things that they want to do but they can't?
I think it's the inability to understand why certain spaces are not permissible anymore. Places that he used to go to before, like the parks we used to go to, or the shopping center's his favorite bookstore that we used to go to. And now I have to tell him, I'm sorry you can't come. It's closed. I'm sorry you can't even get in the car with mommy when mommy's doing like a short, you know, grocery run and he likes to come in and like help me pick stuff. He can't even do that because obviously of, you know, the policy about kids having to stay at home. So it's just trying to grapple with everything that's changing. And at that age, you know, take an average four-year-old preschooler, the world around you is already changing. You have to deal with so much. You're learning and absorbing new things every day and then throw a global pandemic on top of it. And what Lavender said was quite right, which is, you know, they look to parents for answers. And a lot of times we don't have the answers. One of the things my son keeps asking me all the time is, you know, Mom, when will the virus be over? And I always say the same thing. Like, I really wish that I could give you the answer. I wish I knew. I can't tell you how and when and why. And having to also, I think, deal with really big emotions at such a really young age is very tough. They're facing things right now that we never had to face when we were young. And also things like, you know, experiencing or hearing news about loss or death. You know, this year we've lost a few people quite dear to us, or, you know, even friends, families, or even a really young child of a dear friend of mine. And he knows that child. And I had to sit down, have a conversation with him about, you know, why is this baby who is my friend not around anymore, is deeply, deeply difficult. So these are all things that they have had to deal with that there is no precedent.
I mean, how do you decide how much to tell your child? Because at four, it's at that age where I guess perhaps there's a lot to consider, right? Whether they really understand what's happening, you know, how much you want to tell them, and if telling them too much is going to be too scary, right? How do you find that balance for yourself?
I think it's just kind of sitting down and understanding the question that is being asked of you. Parents have a tendency to kind of try and over-explain or like read their own interpretation into what the child is asking. You have to take that with a pinch of salt, because sometimes when they ask a question and then you add like XYZ to it, it sometimes overloads them with that information. So the first thing I think is to kind of step back and really listen to what your child is saying. And I would be as honest as I can be, bearing in mind the emotional capacity of my child. So I wouldn't say things that would unnecessarily scare him, but I would also try and get across certain things that are serious. For example, you know, this is why you must wash your hands. This is why we all must wear a mask. This is why you want to keep a distance from people. Doesn't mean you don't love that person. Doesn't mean you're not still friends with them. But you're doing this because you want to be safe and you want them to be safe as well. So it's to take core concepts that are important and kind of adapt it in a way that they can understand, but not be like a scaremonger as well. You know?
Lavender, have you seen that among some of the parents of the kids that you work with? You know, I have heard some cases where, you know, parents sort of lean in too much into that scaremongering, that fearmongering, because, you know, in a way they themselves are worried, right? But like, what are your thoughts on that? You know, how do you guide parents on these things?
Okay. Yeah, that's a very good question. You're right, because sometimes when we are feeling anxious, we do kind of spread that to the people around us, right? And of course, they come with good intentions when they do say like, oh, you know how many people have died because of this. What they're trying to do is to get their kids to stay safe, right? So what I usually do with clients like this, parents like this with a lot of anxiety about the pandemic and having a lot of difficulty explaining it to their kids, I try to help them focus on things we can control. So minimizing the impact of the words that they say, rather than saying, you know, a lot of people have died, which can be so terrifying for a child, right? And say, you know, this virus is very serious. And like what Kimberly said, that was great, like focusing on the things you can do. So this virus is very serious. That's why we have to do ABC. So that helps the child feel more secure, because you're giving the child things that they can control, which are all the measures, right? So they don't feel so helpless and lost, rather than you just tell them it's so serious, people are dying, and then you leave them like that. They'll feel very hopeless and confused.
And if I can just add one more point, it's also, I think, the responsibility of the parents to assess the information that we're getting. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and it's very easy to feed that anxiety. But to be responsible consumers of, you know, information, of media, so that you don't feed that kind of worry and then spill over onto the children that are around you.
Both of you mentioned, you know, a bit about how uncertain the situation is, you know, when your kids ask you when can they even go to the park and you can't even answer that. How do you manage those situations? Because you at the same, at one point you don't want to be too pessimistic, right? But at the other end, you know, you really can't give an answer. You know, in those situations, how does that uncertainty affect both parents and the children?
That's a very good question. You're right. It's so hard, right, for us to answer that question. Usually what we do with the kids or with the parents that we work with is we try to help them think of alternatives. So for example, if your child says like, oh, when can we go to the park again? Just be honest. I don't know. I wish I could tell you. We don't know when things will get better. When things get better, we can go to the park again. But what do you love most about the park, you know, or what do you like about going to the park? So maybe they'll say like, I don't know, I like to play, I like to jump, you know, then you can say, all right, we don't have a lot of space, but maybe we can go sit in the balcony. Maybe we can bring a little tub in the balcony and have a mini swimming pool in the balcony. How about that? Right? Or when can I see my friends again? Oh, I'm so sorry. It's not safe. I don't know when it'll be safe. How about we FaceTime them? So at least you give them an alternative.
I was going to say as well, those are actually brilliant suggestions and some things that we actually do in real life. So a friend of mine was saying, you know, sometimes she likes to kind of keep things interesting, as interesting as you can get within your homes, right? And so, you know, just doing things like, okay, let's have a meal. We live in a condo, but let's have a meal on the balcony together. And then, you know, just shakes things up a little bit. Even though we can't go to, you know, the place that you really want to go, let's say you can't go to the library, for example, and get all your nice books. Okay, let's take out all your old books. Let's create a story. So it's about kind of repurposing what you have and the knowledge that those things will be waiting for us when things are a little bit better.
All right, we'll continue our conversation after a very short break. You know, we'll talk more about how parents can perhaps spot signs when kids are really feeling the stress from the situation right now, especially if the kids don't know how to verbalize how they're feeling, right? I'm speaking today to clinical psychologist Lavender Tan, as well as Kimberly Lee, managing editor for Maashik. And we are talking about whether kids are burning out and how they are coping during the pandemic. We'll be right back after a short break. Keep it here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Today, we're looking at kids and whether they're feeling burnt out from the pandemic, whether they are feeling the pandemic fatigue, as many of us adults do as well. And before the break, you know, we've Lavender and Kimberly have shared how, you know, Kimberly shared how her kids have been doing and how they've been, the little things that they've been doing to manage. And both of you also touched on how, you know, some kids are feeling more irritable at this time, right? That they're feeling that cabin fever. And perhaps to expand on that a bit more, Lavender, what are the signs of burnout or fatigue among both younger and older kids? What can parents look out for?
Okay, so with younger kids, I think it's a little bit harder to spot in a way because they can't express themselves so well. So what you might see is a little bit of change in behavior, like maybe they used to be very cheerful, very friendly, or very compliant. Some kids, you know, they just do what they say, what you tell them to. But during the pandemic, a lot of my clients who are parents, they say, oh, he's usually so good-natured. I don't know why he's so cranky. He's crying a lot more. Or a kid who's usually very energetic, very enthusiastic, they just seem a lot more down, a lot more mellow, a lot more uninterested. So that general shift in mood, and just it seems like they're getting upset about small things, like maybe they get upset because you give them the wrong cereal or something like that. But it's usually more related to the bigger picture of the pandemic than the actual problem. They just don't know how to verbalize it. For older kids who are more verbal, you might hear a lot more of these worries. So they might ask you questions about your job. So some of the parents I work with will say, oh, it's so strange. The other day, my daughter asked me, is your boss happy with you? So it's like these kind of concerns that are actually pandemic related because they hear, right? They hear about people losing their jobs or these kind of struggles and they start to worry. So if they're asking you these questions or they're asking you a lot of questions about, mom, what will happen after the pandemic? What's my exam going to be like? Am I going to pass? What if I don't pass? Mm-hmm. If they seem to be sort of bombarding you with these kind of questions, you can pick up on the anxiety. Or you can notice a change in mood as well. Even with older kids, you might see a lot more irritability, fatigue, less lack of energy, lack of enthusiasm. It shows up in them too.
Younger and older kids also experiencing sort of the consequences of the pandemic differently, especially when we look at perhaps younger kids who may not really understand what is happening with the pandemic, who are too young to understand, or perhaps even special needs kids, right, who may not completely understand, you know, why we need to follow certain restrictions or why we can't do certain things like go out to the park.
It's very hard on them, especially your special needs kids, because it takes them a lot of time to get used to certain routines as well. So the in-school, out-of-school breaks does impact them very significantly.
Kimberly, as a parent, you know, how are you coping? You know, how and what have you heard from other parents as well?
I think that the burden on parents is a pretty heavy one. From my own personal perspective, it is already really difficult because I'm working from home, and I have my two little ones, both who are at an age where the needs are very dependent and very pressing. You know, I cry, I need to be fed, I need to have this, I need you to sit by my side as I get through my online classes. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on online classes. But I also realize I'm speaking from a position of privilege in the sense that, you know, I have income and I have a roof over my head and I have enough on my table. The bigger question is the parents who are dealing with multiple children in the household, don't have adequate income, don't have adequate access to education for their kids. That is the real issue. And it really hurts my heart to see that, you know, 16 months in, what has been done to help those families in this time? Mm. I mean, there are some moves here and there, but it's not enough. So I think we're sitting on a, you know, right at the precipice of like a pressure cooker situation. Mm-hmm. So many families are fracturing already. So many needs are not being met. And I think that it's extremely hard to be a parent in the middle of a pandemic.
Do you think kids pick up on the stress, the frustrations that parents feel?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They are little sponges. They pick up everything, good and bad. So things like even tensions between partners in a household. Like I know because many, many friends have said, obviously, because you are in a situation where, you know, you're dealing with your partner 24/7, you tend to rub up against each other in terms of like there's a lot of friction within the household, and the kids pick up on that. They pick up on your anxiety. They pick up on your stress. They pick up on dissension within the household. And it's also, you know, because the parents aren't just grappling with how other people feel. It's also our own internal feelings about this whole situation and our own mental health that is also suffering. So yes, very much so. Children are aware, which is why it is tough, but we have to be conscious about how that is being communicated to our kids.
And in those situations, Lavender, you know, how might it affect the kids' mental and emotional well-being?
Well, in many ways, it does contribute to their feelings of anxiety as well, because it's like in a plane, you know, if you look at the stewardesses and they're freaking out, that's when you start to freak out. That's how kids feel about their parents. So when they witness this, like their parents fighting or being very stressed out, of course, then they start to feel like the problem is massive and that they should be worried. So it can affect that their sense of safety and their levels of anxiety.
And we talk a lot about how there is a mental health crisis brewing among adults. You know, there have been a lot of mention about the rise in suicide cases recently among adults. But should there also be equal concern about a possible mental health crisis among children? You know, are you worried about more children developing mental health issues, or perhaps are you already seeing that?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I pulled up this statistic. So this was actually from the Bukit Aman Criminal Investigations Department. They have all of the numbers of suicides since 2019 until May this year. So that's 1,708 deaths by suicide. And out of this 1,708, more than half are between the ages of 15 and 18. So actually quite a large number of them are adolescents. That's why child and adolescent mental health is something that we really have to look into, because it does impact them very significantly.
And what sort of mental health issues are you concerned about?
Well, already those who have pre-existing difficulties like ADHD or any other neurodevelopmental disorders, they are at risk because they can't get the help that they need. It's even harder for them to assimilate. Imagine a child with ADHD trying to focus on a screen. So, of course, for them, they will develop significant self-esteem issues and anxiety and depression about not being able to catch up in school. But even for those without neurodevelopmental difficulties, there has been an increase in anxiety and depression as well. So I think those are the areas that we are looking at, especially when we're looking at suicide numbers. That's the area of concern.
Has there been enough attention paid into, you know, the impact, the mental health impact of the pandemic on children, or are we, or has there, or do you see more focus on adults compared to children?
I think there has been a lot more focus on adults, to be fair, simply because it's a lot harder to access children over telehealth or the phone, right? Just because it's harder for them to pay attention, especially when they're younger. But I do believe that to a certain extent, helping the adults can also help the children. Because, of course, if the parents are in a better mental state, if they're cared for, they can better support their children as well. But there are a number of initiatives. I know a lot of special needs centers were given permission to open, which is great.
Yeah.
That means that they get to continue their routines. They get to continue getting the support that they need. And also there is a hotline called Buddy Bear. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. So the same way hotlines have been set up for adults who need help, there are also hotlines for children, although I'm not so sure about younger children. They're not as capable of accessing those hotlines. So I think in terms of children's mental health, the focus would very much be on helping the parents support them, especially for the younger ones.
And what sort of support then do parents as well as their kids need, right? What are, Lavender, what are some ways that parents can cope and thus help their children to cope with the situation as well?
In a lot of the trainings that we do, we focus a lot on self-compassion with parents. I think that is very, very difficult for most parents. Parents are so critical of themselves. And of course, that impacts your mental health, right? If you've had a crazy long day of meetings and then you're beating yourself up for not cooking for your kids or for not catching that homework that they missed out on, you know, it can be very, very tough. And then it's more likely that things will bubble over. So to begin with, we do talk about being kind to yourself, just starting with that voice in your head that tells you you're not doing good enough, like you're not doing enough for your child. That needs to stop. You're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, you can't be perfect. You're doing the best you can. So that's very helpful, trying to focus on self-care, trying to focus on lowering that kind of expectation that you set on yourself for how much you have to do or how well you have to contribute to your child's achievements, for example. I think that's a very good start.
What has helped you cope, Kimberly?
I think the starting off point is definitely what Lavender said. Learning how to kind of let go of certain expectations that you place on yourself, and a lot of expectations you place unnecessarily. There is, I think, like an inherent sort of burden that we feel to be that parent that shows up for everything and like, you know, parent of the year, turning in a perfect score as a mother or father, and that parent does not exist. You know, it's an unrealistic thing to expect, especially when we are all going through a very unique situation. And so I read an article somewhere where it was just like, it is okay to be an okay parent. It's fine. You don't have to be, you know, like, you know, award-winning parent. It's just all right to breathe and realize that you just are just getting by. And if, you know, your screen time goes a little bit up, that's fine. And if you do find yourself, you know, emotionally exhausted, losing your temper here and there, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad parent. You're just going through a tough situation. And that's usually the first point. And it's very hard for parents to even get to that point, because we still keep that mentality of, I need to be, you know, 100% with my kid. But it's learning how to be kind to yourself. Learning also not to compare yourself, because, you know, social media still continues. And you see a lot of very glossy images of people who seem to have it all, even in this time. And the reality is and has always been that they don't. It is just their best friend that is being put forward. So like I said before, to be mindful of the things that you consume, it applies to social media as well. And to just remember that, you know, as much as you are also going through this time, your child is as well. And it's very easy to want to switch off after a long day. And it is a struggle, but I do try and intentionally carve out time to connect with my child and say, you know, what is going on in your world? Let me know how you feel, because that is so important. Giving them an outlet to kind of express what they're going through is crucial. So be kind to yourself, carve out time, take mini breaks in your day if you can. And just realize that, you know, I hate saying this because we hear it all the time as parents, but, you know, this too shall pass.
Do you find that there is that sort of expectation on mothers, especially, to do more during this time?
That's a really good question. And I definitely have heard this being voiced out by a lot of my female friends. I don't think it's a fair assumption to make, but it is something that, yes, does continue, that the expectation is on the mother to carry more of the burden, which is really hard because, you know, in most of these cases, you know, the mothers also have other responsibilities to handle. I know a lot of working moms who are then taking on the added responsibility of being pretty much the sole person in the house who's holding everything together. And that is a really unfair burden to place on any woman. I know it's easier said than done. And I know it doesn't happen in a lot of households. But it is so crucial to have an equal partner who would support you, because you are going through, as they keep saying, unprecedented times, right? To add that stress and to burden just the woman with it, or just the mother with it, is unduly unfair. But yes, unfortunately, it does happen. Happens a lot.
What are some little things that parents can do with their kids to just, like you said, Kimberly, carve out that specific time to spend with your kids, right? What are some ideas or advice that both of you would have, especially for parents who are cooped up at home with their kids and perhaps stuck in front of their screen for long hours throughout the day?
Well, with my husband, he's got a busy work schedule, right? But in between, when he's having a bit of his lunch break, what will happen is that the boys will go over to his room, and then they'll have a little, like, you know, I can hear all these yells and shrieks and, like, you know, like a lot of laughter coming in. And, like, even in that time, even in the busy day, he just sets a little bit of time to just play with them, kind of have a little bit of roughhouse time with them, and they look forward to that so much. After work is done, we like to sometimes try and take them out for walks when we can, or just spend a little bit extra time with them at night, because we don't get that time in the day. If it just means an extra 5 minutes of story time or cuddling time, it means the world to them. We are so tired. We are exhausted. And I know that, like, I keep saying it's easier said than done, but sometimes, because they really need it, it's to realize that they need it more than you need your 5 extra minutes of rest.
Speaking of going out for walks, it's something that, unfortunately, you know, for some people in the Klang Valley, is not possible right now because of the EMCO, right? Lavender, how much of a difference does it actually make for kids, younger and older, to simply just be able to go out and walk and play, right? Does it How much does it help their mental and emotional well-being to not be cooped up in, you know, the same four walls the whole day?
It makes a huge difference, actually, especially for younger kids, because they need a lot more physical activity, and for adults as well. So I think it affects us. Being out in nature really calms the mind.
Yeah.
So it does have a huge impact, to the point where you put them on the balcony and they stare at trees and they just seem a little bit lighter. So a lot of scientific evidence shows that being able to be out in nature makes a huge difference.
Do you think that when we do get to return to some semblance of normalcy, things will improve for children. You know, do you think that they're resilient?
Yeah, children are very resilient, actually. They do tend to bounce back. We might have a bit of a teething period, you know, like how after the long holidays when all the kids go back to school, they're always a bit harder to manage and teachers dread that period of time the most. So we might have a little bit of that for a while, but I do think that kids can bounce back. They'll be very happy to see their friends again. But of course, I can't speak for everyone. There are individuals with maybe predisposed conditions or maybe higher levels of anxiety who might hold on to this trauma a lot more. Yes. So it depends on the individual. But for the larger part, kids do tend to be pretty resilient. Mm.
Yeah. I do think trauma is the right word, though. Mm. Understand that we can't also expect every single child to just bounce back to the way life was, because truth is, life as we know it is never going to be the same. But I absolutely agree. I think they're a lot stronger and more resilient than we sometimes think that they are. And, you know, the human nature or humanity is such that I think we're designed to want to connect to other people and to be survivors. So in that, I am hopeful that things will be much better for our children and that they will get through this.
Hmm. Hopefully things will get better soon. People are hopeful that vaccinations, as they ramp up, you know, things will slowly begin to go back to normal, that, you know, our kids can have some semblance of normalcy, right, in the latter half of the year. Before we end, could I get a quick final message from both of you, you know, to parents out there?
I'm going to go back to self-compassion again. I think that's so important. Be kind to yourself. You're doing your best. Focus on what's most valuable to you in your relationship with your kids. Focus on the connection. Try to release your expectations of all these other things like grades or perfect nutrition and things like that. Just focus on the bond between you and your children.
I think for me, it would be along the same lines. Treat yourselves kindly. Treat your children kindly as well. Know that you will get through this. It might not feel that way a lot of times, but like I said earlier, the human spirit is designed to survive, and I believe that is the case for Malaysia. I really want to see that with our rakyat. And yeah, just love on each other a little bit more in this time. I know it's very hard.
And just one quick thing, Kimberly, how important is it for parents to seek support among other parents, right? And to just talk about what they're going through with other people who may be experiencing the same thing?
Yes, absolutely. It's quite cathartic to share battle scarring stories with fellow parents. Then you realize that you're not the only, you know, like parent who's melting down. It is, because then at least you have a place to sound off and also get advice. And I would definitely say as well, for every single parent out there, mental health is something that is so important. Don't shy away from reaching out for help, finding sources that can provide assistance. When help is being offered as well, my prayer is also that people will be able to reach out to the hand that is extending help. There's nothing at all that is shameful about that. There's so much strength in saying yes to an offer for help. So please, yeah.
And especially when it comes to the stigma of reaching out for help, including for mental health help, we want that. We want to end that stigma, right? Both for parents, for adults, absolutely, and for kids, because we don't want to perpetuate that stigma and prevent kids from seeking out help if they need to.
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining me today, both of you.
Thank you, Suan.
Thanks for having us.
I've been speaking to Lavender Tan, a clinical psychologist, and Kimberly Lee, a parent and managing editor of Mashiq, on whether kids are experiencing pandemic fatigue like the rest of us adults and how parents and kids alike can cope during these times. And if you find that your child would like to speak to someone, the Buddy Bear helpline number can be reached at 1-800-182-327. It is toll-free and available every day between noon and midnight. And if you missed any part of today's show, or if you want to listen to other Live and Learn episodes, you can look us up on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.